Hello, and thank you for joining us for the Commercial Real Estate Strategy Podcast. I'm Sarah Bimprat with Realcom. We have an excellent lineup of industry thought leaders on today's session, and our sponsors are HID, Join, Real Foundations, Yardi, Domain 6, and Invicara, and we'll learn more about these companies throughout the session. Our session is moderated by Jim Young. Jim is founder and CEO of Realcom, and he has over 20 years of experience in real estate and technology. And I will turn it over to him.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you everybody for joining us today. This is actually one of my favorite topics. We obviously talk about technology and automation and innovation every day. That's what we do. 3,000 plus companies in our industry. Our exhibit floor had over 200 companies this past summer. So technology is absolutely an important subject. However, without strategy, it's a very, very difficult road. And we've got a great lineup today of speakers. We're going to start with a couple end users, people who actually own and operate the real estate and are responsible for technology. I'll be introducing them in a bit, as well as four really great sponsors/partners who are helping to subsidize this education and will offer their thought leadership perspectives as well. So we've got a great group of folks and a great topic, and we're looking to keep you engaged. So if you've got some suggestions for a poll or if you've got questions, you can text them in to the Q&A box. We want to keep you involved as much as we can with the conversation. This webinar is for you, and then hopefully we deliver. So before we get started on the webinar, the title is Commercial Real Estate Technology, the Importance of Developing, Emphasis Strategy. I want to give you an idea of why it's so important. What you're looking at is an enterprise IT enterprise architecture for a real estate company, and I think we developed this about 10 years. So it's dated. We will plan on updating it. But you can see, even going back 10 years, if you separate the real estate solutions, the connected building solutions, and then general IT that people like Alon and Sanish are having to deal with, there's an awful lot. There's a lot of systems, and these sometimes are in one enterprise, sometimes they're a collection of point solutions. They all kind of come together. They're overlapping more and more. Now we're talking about data warehouses and lakes and data intelligence and business intelligence and artificial intelligence. It's a very complex process. And so the importance of a strategy is now more important today than it ever was, even going back 10 years. And that's what we're going to try to get to. So one other layer of how complicated it is, I'm going to take us quickly through some trends. We came up with these about 6 months ago. We talked to hundreds of people, analyzed the industry. And so all of you are having to deal with technology. You're going to have to contend with these trends as well. So in addition to the complexity of the technology, there's some real movements in the marketplace, and I want to set the stage with these. So the first purpose of space, brick and mortar, is being challenged by digital, working from your home, working from an airport, working at a co-working space versus going into an office, shopping online versus going to a mall. We're seeing it more and more, and as the world does get more digital, it's going to impact how we use the space. Space as a service, co-working flex space, what percentage of a portfolio should be flex, and should I control that space and access that space on my phone? Just like I order an Uber. Digitally enhanced occupant experience. Cube farms and boring offices are definitely gone. Occupant experience is growing in importance. And so as IT people dealing with technology for real estate companies, getting into the front side and understanding this is becoming critically more important. The real estate companies and digital transformation, it's an overused word, but it's very important. Everybody's going through it right now, and if you're an analog, old-fashioned, non-modern real estate company, you're going to struggle. Enterprise architecture, we're going to be talking about that a lot today. This is not for the faint of heart. Connecting the back end, the middle end, and the front end is a complex task. It involves issues like cyber and privacy, as well as data normalization and architectures. So we're going to be speaking a little about that as part of the strategy. IT, OT, IoT, everything smart building, definitely coming into the realm of an IT department's responsibility. Understanding the PropTech investment, billions and billions of dollars invested, 3,000 companies. What products should you go to? What companies are going to survive? What other metrics should you consider other than just the technology itself, you know, the strength of the management team, the financing of the company? A lot to consider, big topic. Cybersecurity, if you don't have a cybersecurity strategy, you don't have a strategy, because as the buildings and the systems and the processes get more connected, cyber becomes much more of an issue. Big data analytics, AI, machine learning. So we have the data. It was in spreadsheets. Now it's getting into warehouses and lakes and databases. We first applied analytics. Now we want AI and machine learning. It's going to be a major trend that's not going away. 5G CBRS and next generation communications infrastructure going to be in everybody's strategy over the next 36 months. And with 5G and CBRS comes a whole new host of capabilities. Emerging technologies, augmented reality, robotics, blockchain, AR, augmented reality, something we all need to understand. Growing tech skill shortage. We have a lot of new technology, but our industry continues to struggle for the talent to implement and maintain. Privacy, conflicting global trends. One side of the world says we can listen and take data whenever we want. With GDPR and CPPA coming out of California, the West has got a different perspective on privacy, and as a dealing with a strategy for a real estate company, whether it's a microphone in a building or protecting the client data in the back end, a big, big issue. And then China tech, not many people are following this. We are. There's 10 or so companies out there that are dominating China's technology as it relates to general as well as real estate tech. Some of us speculate that they could be 3 to 5 years ahead in things like 5G and digital retail and others. So we're going to continue that topic in all of our events, and we'll be interested in hearing any feedback you all may have. And then understanding the potential shifts and what's next. Is it a strategy? Is it a three-year strategy? Five? At our conference, we introduced George Gilbert video at the very end of our general session. And he's saying cloud is done, and next is distributed blockchain. And we've been watching blockchain for 5 years. It hasn't really took place, but George has been right before, and so we're going to continue to keep an eye on this. And we're just not interested in next, nor should you when it comes to the strategy. You should be looking at next. So with that, I would like to introduce our first speaker. And we were prepping and got to know Alon a little bit more and some of the stuff that he's doing at Carr Properties. Just a very, very visionary company, really 21st century thinking. And Alon, as the CTO for Carr, is responsible for a lot of this. So he leverages vision and foresight to cross-pollinate best practices, process systems, and resources across corporate operations and affiliates. So he touches everybody. And under his leadership, this has resulted in improvements in bottom-line costs, top-line business growth, a new thing to our industry, scalability, operational sustainability, and high performance, and overall strengthening his company's role as a market leader. And I'm really excited to have him with us today. And Ilan, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you very much, Jim. I wanted to start a little bit about, you know, for you to know a little bit about Carr. Carr is a fairly small company. We own 15 assets, commercial properties, office buildings. I'm 20 years in the industry. I come from a company that used to own 640 shopping centers worldwide on four different continents. So Carr for me is a fairly small company, but at the same time, the benefits of being working with a small company, energetic and young, is that no one's afraid, and everyone wants to understand where we can go and how we can grow, and it's very exciting. So I treat everything that I do here like I'm working in a lab, because everything proportionally is fairly small. Over the years, I've also understood that IT, like every one of the departments, is a vertical department, because we also have our back office, our security, our servers, our desktops, antiviruses, and we deal with all of that, and that's our vertical. But in reality, we had to grow over time very horizontal and understand where and what is happening in all the other departments. And we really became an horizontal operating department where we literally have dabs in every one of the departments. When I interview people, I always tell them that IT is in the shoreline, on the low end of the water or in the shores, and we never get into the deep end of all of the other departments, but we end up being the unifying or the glue within the business because everything eventually comes back into the IT, into the solutions that we put together. We had to go and grow because sales understands finance and finance understands HR, but no one really understands IT. So we really needed to educate the business. We needed to infiltrate into the business and understand, make them understand that we really are a partner to the business. And thank you, to this huge growth that is happening now. It really forces all the different business owners to come in and knock on the IT door and said, how can you help me? What can we do? And I think that is really really helps out. And when we put together the IT steering committee or strategy, then that's really where it really helps. I mean, you need to think about how many other departments have so many committees: digital expansion, steering committee, innovation committee, strategy committee. How many other departments within your organization actually have these many committees put together, where IT is the one that literally when this happens, it's just because we want to be involved within the business and really become to work together with the business. How do we get there? And I think that the IT steering committee really does a lot, and we can do a lot, but the steering committee is really to blend IT into the business or to educate the non-IT savvies what they need to do and open their eyes on technological solutions, because at the end of the day, we're looking for how do we improve our business using technological solutions. And we have a sustainability project over here. All of our engineers were called in. All of our development people were called in. And my CEO and my CFO said, well, why isn't IT at the table here? Or no ground-up development project will happen today without IT sitting in the room because we help with the infrastructure. We help with the solutions. We're not an aftermath anymore to be called when the business really needs us. And that took time, but it takes a lot of education and a lot of understanding within the business. And I think that there's different methods of going about it, and you need to understand what your target is, and you need to understand you need to learn what the business does. But it all starts when you take a step back and understand where am I on my maturity ladder. So this is a great graph that I pulled out of Infotech. Where you really need to understand where do you really sit. You can be a very large organization, very reputable, very big in the market itself, a leader in your market, but you may be acquiring companies, have multiple systems, and the back of the office is not working 100%. That is not good for the IT department because the reputation is not there, because there's no support from the business. So when I come and I tell people that we should strategize and we should work and understand where we want to be in 5 years, they look at me and they say, yeah, but all my phone lines, the phone is hanging up all the time, and our phones are, our calls are being dropped, and it's super slow in order to close the month. So why do we want to look at 5 years? Why don't you fix what's happening right now? So you don't want to be a firefighter. You don't want to be a reliable operator, because then you're bringing in a lot of shadow IT where they're going to be looking for the solution somewhere else. So you end up having to really work hard and fast in order to bring the back of the house up and running, and up and running well, so you can step into the being the trusted operator and then sit at the table, work with the business, and be able to really be able to provide value to the business itself.
Well,
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Finish your thought, sorry.
What I wanted to show here is a little bit about how do you approach a little bit when you deal with the business, and when you deal with with the different people, like you actually have to show that you understand the business and you're talking technology, but through the business and how it drives success to the business. And I think that you want to be part of the what we need to do or what we want to do and less of how do we do it. And that is a huge component. That's a huge shift because you want that seat of the table, and we get to that seat of the table, but are you sitting in the table to be asked how to do it, or are you being sat at the table to say, what do we need to do, and when do we do it? And I think that that's a huge component and an upgrade for us as technologists, because then we really are part of the business and we're not some silo department. So I think that, you know, that pretty much covers what I have to say. And, you know, and this just shows over here where the when you sit inside of these steering committees or you sit in and you prepare your strategy, that you look at the different, you know, plans or the way where the business is going, and you try to pick up your project and you try to budget and you try to invest in where the business is going together with the business, not as a silo department.
Yeah, incredible insight, and some of the questions that we're going to be getting to later that you submitted are spot on. You know, and one of the main things is, how do you know IT is being engaged at a strategic level and not tactical? You know, how many of those innovative business decisions are you involved with? And when your CIO or your CEO said, "Where's IT?" that means you're ingrained into the culture, and that's mm-hmm. critical. And for those listening on the call, we're going to get to some of the ways you can determine how well you're being perceived in the organization. And taking that test might be sometimes a little painful, but if you want to really truly have big impacts in the organization, you've got to be recognized by all businesses as strategic, not tactical. Thank you so much, Alon. Great presentation. So our next speaker, again, coming from the end user's point of view, somebody who has to make these decisions and implement it, we've got Sunish Kashyap, the managing director and CTO from Prologis. And Sunish is, you know, Prologis is the largest industrial real estate company in the world. He's going to explain to us, you know, where Prologis is, but literally one of the largest real estate companies in the world. And you can only imagine what he's up against when he's coming and having to make decisions on technology, automation, and innovation. So in his role, Sunish oversees all aspects of the technology strategy and is responsible for basically leading the company's global data and digital transformation. Not an easy task. And since joining Prologis in 2018, he and his team have been focused on capability-driven, customer-centric approach to innovation and digitization. So with that, Sunish, I'd like to hand the floor to you and give us a little overview on Prologis and your whole perspective on, you know, this digital transformation strategy.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. Good morning, everyone, from sunny San Francisco. As Jim mentioned, I'm the CTO at Prologis. I have been with Prologis now for a little over 15 months, and that has also been the extent of my exposure to real estate tech. My prior experience involved leadership roles at Experian, the credit profiling company, Safeway Albertsons, the retailer, American Express Financial Services, and Prudential Insurance. So I've been through a few different industries, and what is fascinating about this journey at Prologis is just comparing and contrasting the experience between those different industry segments. Let me set the stage for the discussion around strategy by just sharing a little bit about Prologis. Jim talked a little bit about how we are the largest industrial real estate provider in the world. You see the numbers there. They're mind-boggling. We're in four continents, 19 countries, over $100 billion worth of assets under management, and close to 800 million square feet of space. So that, as just pure real estate terms, are mind-boggling. But then when you go and look at the impact that we have on the world economy. This came out of a study by Oxford where the impact of that we have on the GDP of the countries that we are involved in is about 2.8%, and that is roughly equivalent to about 2% of the world's economy. So when you think about that scale, there's quite a few opportunities that come our way that we need to be ready to face with technology. And that has been a huge portion of our focus when it comes to the technology strategy. When you think about Prologis' technology strategy, I think of it in terms of four fundamental pillars. The first is around making sure that we digitize our core and protect our core business. You can think of this as a strategy to ensure that no capability gets left behind on this digital transformation journey that we are on. Like every large company, we have our fair share of Excel spreadsheets, Access databases, and making sure that as we scale ourselves and as we get on this digital transformation journey, that we don't leave those key capabilities behind is a big part of the focus. You throw in a cloud transformation and a data transformation and an agile transformation into the mix, and you can imagine what digitizing the core means for us. The second pillar is around innovation. And we look at innovation in three different ways. The first is, you heard Jim talk about PropTech and just the proliferation of startups in our industry overall, which is great news for everyone. Well, we like to keep tabs on what's happening in the startup ecosystem as a way of informing and influencing our own strategy. We have a corporate ventures team that invests in startups, and that's a big part of how we have that connection into the startup community. The second part of our innovation journey is to make sure that we have a setup where we can actively experiment and co-innovate with our customers. Our customers are some of the largest retailers and 3PLs in the world. All of them have some common threads in terms of the customer problems that they run into. Well, we have created a Prologis Labs in the San Francisco Bay Area where we co-innovate with some of these customers and solve problems that strictly don't belong in the true real estate guardrails but are more customer-centric in the nature of what the problems are. And the third pillar of which I just touched upon is making sure that rather than greenfield innovation and falling for the buzzwords, that we are customer-centric in how we approach innovation and that we are solving real customer problems. The third pillar for our strategy is around monetization of technology. So while we digitize the core, we don't stop there. We are constantly looking for figuring out a way to build new digital businesses. And we, again, partner with our customers in ensuring that the monetization of the digital transformation that we are on is very much front and center for us. Finally, and you heard Ilan touch on this and Jim touch on this as well, thinking of technology as a business unit is how we think of technology at Prologis. I report to the CEO of the company, and that right there sends a message to the rest of the company about how important technology is. Our board and our executive leadership takes a much deeper interest in technology beyond just having the trains run on time. And all that helps contribute to this march that we are on towards a truly digital, technology-savvy company that we want to be. So those are some of the thoughts on how we approach technology. I'll be glad to answer some questions as they come through. Back to you, Jim.
Awesome. Sunise, and for everybody who didn't have the benefit of being on a call that we had yesterday, of course, we were talking about all the back-end systems and the infrastructure that require, but we also got to go off topic a little bit, and Sunise was sharing with us about, you know, how they're looking at drones and autonomous trucks showing up and autonomous delivery vehicles inside the buildings and 3D printing, and it was just fascinating to see, you know, how Prologis being at the center of the global supply chain is really, you know, going to be at the forefront of some of these big changes. So we've got a great office conversation. We've got a great industrial conversation.
Real Foundations is a professional services firm focused on helping companies develop,
from our sponsors and our partners,
operate, and then, or invest in real estate, make smarter, more profitable decisions. From
that,
the building
I'd like
itself
to the way
it's developed, operated, and capitalized. No firm understands the inner workings of the entire real estate ecosystem as well as Real Foundations. We make real estate run better.
All right, so with that, I would like to introduce Kevin Vertrees, an industry vet. I've been in this industry a long time, and Kevin's going to share some of that with you. In his role as the lead managing consultant at Real Foundation, he's got 24 years of experience in real estate, and his expertise encompasses enterprise IT design, integration, and ecological adaptation. And then prior to joining Real Foundation, he served as CIO for a large New York owner-operator and as SVP of IT for an Ohio-based REIT. So, Kevin, obviously a lot of experience in industry, and looking forward to your perspective.
And thank you, Jim. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, well, it's a pleasure to join here. As Jim said, that I am now with a company called Real Foundations, but spent many, many years, 20-plus, working for a public real estate company, maybe in a similar role as many of you on the call today. And what I want to talk about is just a little bit about strategy, some of the blocking and tackling. There was a lot of great insights that Alon and Sunish were talking about. But when we're talking about a strategy, really we're talking about a plan of action. There's some synonyms, a roadmap, a blueprint, a program. These are various terms you'll hear kind of used synonymously with what a strategy is. And the bottom diagram kind of shows how some of these new technologies that Jim introduced to the audience are influencing ways that we may observe, you know, where our company is, how we orient ourselves within the market, how we act, right, how we are kind of delivering the various value propositions that may fall into the overall strategy. There's a lot of changes in technology that are happening today. They're happening at a very fast pace. And so, what Real Foundations does is help real estate companies run better. And enterprise architecture strategy has been a big passion of mine, and I love engaging with other companies. And Real Foundations has a very strong perspective on how a strategy is built upon what we call our operating model. And that's kind of the core, these darker gray boxes that are within this. Both Elon and Sunish made an important point of you need to be looked at as part of the business. And this is one way that we find really helps the business to kind of get aligned with IT, is to have what we call a functional model. This is really looking at the overall real estate company's work that needs to be accomplished. This isn't an organizational chart that's saying here's AR. It's really that within the accounts receivable function, we have these areas of work that need to get done. And they may be getting done by internal resources or external resources, partners that we've worked with. And that's a resource model, right? So they kind of go hand in hand. Here's the various aspects of work our organization needs to focus on. Here's the resources that we're doing it. And then the information model is really talking about the source systems, the kind of application architecture, and more importantly, there are silos of data that may exist in document repositories and things like that, documenting all of that in the information model. Having that layer allows you to say, here's my current state, here's my future state, develop a strategy, that's the top part, and the company may have many strategies. They may have a strategy for specific kind of aspects of the business that may involve technology. Digital strategy may be one of those components, and it would have a bunch of improvement opportunities associated with it, and that's the bottom part there. But that middle lens is something that I think is important to kind of help bridge the gap. It almost becomes, the functional model can become a metaphor for how you're talking about the company, where various projects are influencing the business. It can be used to kind of show what the expected future state is supposed to look like. The next slide I want to talk about are the components of the digital strategy, right? So as both Sanish and kind of Alon were talking about, you know, they have very kind of direct, you know, ways of doing things, of their strategies is very clear and articulated. But they've spent some time thinking about, okay, what is it that we want to accomplish? What are the business goals? They've spent some time going through and looking at what the providers are, kind of looking at the various technologies. That's kind of what the introduction and the approach kind of do, lays what you need to know kind of about the vision, the goals, what it is that you're trying to accomplish. The stakeholders, this is who is going to be affected, who is going to be championing this, who are the people that are going to be financing this in some cases. It's not always IT that are financing some of these projects. So that's a list of the individuals that are involved in the overall digital strategy. The governance framework, whether it's an existing project PMO office that's doing this, or if you have a separate governance that's going to be focusing just on the digital strategy. The roadmap of the various initiatives, this is probably something many companies have, is a list of the various, you know, initiatives that they're looking at, but probably looking at it more from a tactical view, not tying it to the overall business strategy and thinking about, you know, as Sanish was saying, he's got a very customer-focused kind of strategy, right? So this kind of helps kind of say these initiatives are meeting these business strategies. And then finally, an outline could be a one-page synopsis of what each initiative is focused on. Who are the particular stakeholders for that? What are the requirements? What are the objectives? Can become a formal business case down the road, but initially in this creation of strategy is just a more detailed description of what that initiative is. This is a view into Real Foundations has lots of digital strategies. We have lots of strategies for various portions of the business, but one of the aspects of our business is around managed services. So we provide services to companies on the IT side, and we are investing in a technology platform. We are going out looking at the key capabilities that our customers could leverage, right? And so instead of having to invest their own IT resources knowing these technologies, they can use Real Foundations and the platform that we're developing. And so this is something we're continually to evaluate. We're continually coming to RealCom, looking at the vendors, looking at the new trends, the robotic process automation. This is something, for example, that we're investing in because we know our partners may not have the pockets or the time or the effort to kind of put into looking at that in particular, and they may not want to own that long term. So we see that as something that's core to our business, is being able to know this side of the digital technology, create a platform that can be scaled, and share that with our partners. Both Alon and Sanish had talked very, you know, eloquently about certain kind of ways with their strategy, but here's some other kind of things that you should consider when you're putting your strategy in place. Have a clearly defined focus, right? And this is more at the initiative level, right? You may have a strategy that's focused on a lot of these, but a particular project may be customer-focused, as Sanish was talking about, or it may be regulatory. There may be new changes in government rules that require you to invest in different technologies. These may be operational, right? You may look at robotics automation to automate a very manual, repetitive task. Or maybe you're looking at investing in technologies, developing a mobile application to differentiate you within the market. And so those are just some things that should be clearly identified with the various tactics that are being kind of put in place within the roadmap. Pace of change, as Alon was talking about, innovation, there's different maturities of this. You can also look at, like, innovation does move very quickly. In some cases, you may want to invest in a short-term initiative to prove out whether that's going to be something you want to invest in long-term, which that's opposed to, like, a system of record. You're not going to necessarily go and try to innovate on your financial systems, right? And a key question is what is your tolerance for risk and failure? You know, sometimes when you're trying to be innovative, you want to fail, but you want to fail quickly and then kind of learn a lesson and then take another step and kind of try the next initiative. This is a partnership, right? And I think we heard this both from both the previous presenters about the partnership with the business, but it's also outside resources. With the pace of change, we don't feel that companies can do everything themselves. They need to find trusted advisors and partners that can help them support their ongoing model. And then a top-down versus bottom-up approach, this is, again, thinking about if your company doesn't have a formal document strategy, you probably have a list of IT initiatives that are out there that you can use to at least start the road mapping and then start the questions to kind of get it more formalized. You can do it both ways. So with that, I think that's, you know, I'm eager to answer any kind of questions.
Yeah, I hear a continuous story, okay, and I would just ask the audience to do something. Just kind of imagine a big real estate company for the last 5 to 7 years, 100 different projects associated with technology, automation, and innovation started from everybody from the receptionist to the head of IT. And you've got all these different systems. Everybody had good goals and objectives. And now 5 years later, you've got 100 systems. Some may talk to each other and different departments moving at different pace. Without a strategy, this is a disaster, right? So let's take a quick poll right here to get some insight from the audience. And if you could just answer this question as it relates to your strategy, where are you in the strategy development journey? My company has a formal documented strategy with clear stated goals. My company has a view on digital technologies and which ones could impact our business model. My company has a documented roadmap of IT and business initiatives combined, or my company has a formal project delivery methodology and governance process. These are various stages of a strategy. And if you could just answer that, this will give us some insight as to where you all are. And I'm seeing a little bit of a pattern here. It seems like my company has a view on digital technologies and which ones could impact their business model. So Ilan, Sinesh, and Kevin, it seems like a good number of people are still pretty early in the journey, and then 25% is formal delivery project methodology and governance process. So about a quarter actually are well down the road with a little bit over 50%.
If you are a building owner, facility manager, or security professional, so, you have a growing list of responsibilities. From allocating building resources and securing access to preparing for an emergency response. But today's workforce is different, which means building occupancy is different, making building management and security a challenge. Get to know Building Occupancy Management from HID Global. Building Occupancy Management delivers actionable occupancy data that will simplify the way you analyze building occupancy, make decisions about resource provisioning and budget allocations, and plan how to safeguard those inside by providing real-time entry and exit information, occupant location and room utilization, automated alerts for virtual zones, and historical reporting. All so you can reduce facility costs, provide a safer, more convenient experience for visitors and employees, mitigate risk, and meet compliance. Learn more about Building Occupancy Management from HID Global today.
So we're going to get a little different perspective more now moving inside the building and how that strategy has to be incorporated into the overall strategy. So we're going to hear from Mike Salazar, Practice Director for Smart Buildings, and he's got extensive experience in consulting and sales with enterprise companies regarding strategic cross-function technology. Again, there's that word again, strategy, mainly focused on IoT and AI platforms. Named Startup on the Rise by Security Industry Association in 2016, he is currently the Practice Director for Smart Buildings at HID Global. Mike?
Thank you. So one of the party tricks that I do is ask who's familiar with HID. And I hear a lot of people say, no clue who HID is, never heard of them. And I say, oh, have you ever gone through a door, a security door with a white card or a card in your wallet, and you put it to a little black reader, and they pull it out of their wallet or on their keys, and they say, this thing? I say, look at the bottom, and it says HID on it. If it doesn't say HID, which is, you know, probably high 80%, then chances are we made the components to go inside of that. And so really, we are really fortunate that we've helped many innovative companies positively impact change. A few examples, Apple with their college student IDs inside Apple's wallet. So it allows users to pay for food, get into buildings, the doors, use many other resources on campus with their mobile phone securely. Apple announced this at their last tech event. And then Starwood, the first industry-wide mobile key in hospitality, they used our platform. And then World Cup was secure clone-proof ticketing at scale. So 3 million people attending 64 games. We're fortunate to do the last two World Cups. Looks like we'll do the next one as well. And countless others that look probably like you. And here's what we find. So I'm going to be going through some insights here. And really what we're looking at is the global occupancy market and looking at analytics for commercial real estate. You break it down into products versus total systems. And what we're seeing is total systems, excluding service and maintenance, $4.45 billion in 2021. So what does this mean? This means you're already spending a lot of money, maybe with a proper strategy, but most likely without a proper one. And what it requires is shifting our mindset. Many organizations, they're used to buying and selecting products, right? As we talked about, the businesses is operating. But building a cross-functional plan that will need to be done in phases takes a plan. So think of it like the interstate highway system, right? It is plan, design, build, and then adapt. It might not be used the same way it was used when you planned and designed it. So which technologies will be around in 10 years? Is it Wi-Fi? Maybe it's 5G, BLE, low energy Bluetooth. Is it mobile phones? We'll be using doors like we use them today. So I would say find one major problem that is trying to be solved today and partner with a business group to win that. And look at solutions that have ability to be strategic. I mean, knock it out of the park with this win, because most people hear we're going to work on this or we're going to change X, and they never even see X, let alone get to Z. And so if it's utilization, impact should be positively felt at a user level while layering in multiple use cases and leveraging existing infrastructure, right? While you're building your bigger, larger plan, that your infrastructure will be able to be leveraged in the future that you're building. And so what we see here is a couple points to consider, right? So the main owner at any given time, they might not be driving the project or the strategy, but they should weigh heavily, and someone said stakeholders, right? They should weigh heavily in that design, or else your strategy will pay. Then you'll be paying for two and three systems later on, or the entire strategy was thrown out the window and start from scratch. What will the critical aspects to the business be in the near future? And really, really, I think I've heard it a couple times, but I can't stress it more. It's going to be privacy with a cherry on top of security. And so incorporate that into the design of the strategy. You might have both open and closed protocols. So as you look at the stacks, technology stacks, it might be open, they might be closed. And then really the ROI. So as you look at ROI, it shouldn't just be a future thinking. It should be now, but future thinking with compounding. And then the success, how you measure success, I firmly believe that it should be tangible to all constituents. So we're seeing four timing forces that are driving teams to begin their digital strategy. And I'd love to hear from you what you think the fifth one is, so please reply to the comments to the host. And really what this is, this timing allows us to take care of three main pain points that are requiring attention, right? We all feel this. Aging systems, this is that putting out the fires instead of fire planning, right? Data gaps, this gut feeling, now you need data as proof to make the decisions. And those leaky buckets, right? Lots of capital trying to fix holes in processes and workflows and patching things with buying another system, buying another solution to patch those buckets. So think of it as a strategy is trying to achieve as much as possible with maybe a couple platforms or a couple different solutions that provide data-driven decisions that ultimately allow your people to make better decisions with tools they need today that they're going to require in the near future. And then really you should be building to that more hopeful future. So what's really exciting? What are some wishes that you wish you could have in the future and tying those in? So really when you start to have those informational interviews, right, and you start to collect the information and you start to map, There's an ancient proverb. The best time to plant a tree was years ago. The second best time is now. So here's some starting points to consider. Maybe it's building utilization, occupancy experience, safety, security, location solutions, asset tracking, condition monitoring, perfect place to start. Predictive failure with motors and machines. Maybe it's wayfinding. So as you find things that the business is already trying to solve today, really start to unpack that by examining the holistic ROI. And most people never unpack the scalability aspect. They look at the system, they look at the companies, but they don't think down the line, how is this going to be supported? Are we eventually going to fold this into an in-house support? Is there multiple people who can help, or are we stuck with one provider? And so wrapping that up, I hope you discovered some value today. And really on this journey, here's an invitation. I would say take this journey together. So I'd be happy to entertain a conversation. If it's not strategic, so if you come and say, hey, we're trying to do this, chances are we might already have a technology partner solving that. We could just connect you. And then if it's strategic, we figure out how do we plan for it and how do we fold in technology partners to deliver. Back to you, Jim.
Awesome. Thank you. You brought up a couple great points. I just want to go back to Ilan and Sunish for a quick question. Regardless of whether or not you were with your current companies, 2, maybe 3 years ago, was privacy on your strategic roadmap, starting with Ilan?
Privacy was not. Security was.
Right, right. But that, how about you, Sunish? Was privacy on the roadmap?
Not really. I think GDPR is really what put privacy on our roadmap. Security, like Ilan said, has always been a concern. And I think starting with perhaps the target breach is when security really took a turn for becoming front and center on every single board's top of mind, and investment-wise took off as well. But privacy has been a little bit slower to come
along. Does your strategy have to be reviewed? Your strategy doc have to be reviewed every 12 months? I mean, what's the process to keep it current? Because, as was mentioned earlier, this stuff's changing way faster than anybody anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, we do a formal review.
Sorry, go ahead.
Start with Sunish.
Yeah, we do a formal review every year, Jim, but I think, like you said, this is changing so fast that a quarterly tweak is what we go for. So every quarter we sit and discuss if the strategy is headed in the right direction and make any tweaks as needed with a formal review annually.
So just a quick recap so far. Strategies are absolutely a requirement in the real estate IT space. Tactical decision making can no longer survive. And number two, strategies, which are typically 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 years out, need to be reviewed not annually but quarterly. That's a change in just even the last 12, 18 months, even from our perspective. So hopefully everybody's picking up on this. All right, with that, let's move on to our next. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is that I cannot get my IT project approved unless it fits within the strategy of the company. So it has to fit within, you know, what am I actually going to be doing apart from maintaining the existing. Anything new that is coming up, even the things that we've done in the past, have to be evaluated. If they work, are they still worthwhile to maintain? And looking forward at any new project, they have to fit within the business strategy.
Commercial real estate is changing,
that's something
we've believed
in for a long time.
And the change is accelerating. Get ready to reimagine, improve, and elevate the world of commercial real estate with the White technology to power your strategy.
All right, so our next speaker, Darshan.
Are you ready to reimagine space and turn vacancy back into revenue? Meet Yardi Cube, the award-winning co-working solution that helps you build a thriving co-working community. Are you ready to improve energy operations? Get to know Yardi Pulse. The energy performance platform helps you operate your buildings from anywhere. Are you ready to elevate asset performance? Introducing Yardi Elevate, a technology suite that connects every aspect of real estate operations for a holistic approach to asset health. Commercial real estate is changing, and the change is accelerating. Are you ready?
Jim, you might be on mute.
With that, I would like to introduce Dar Shah. And Dar is an industry principal of Yardi, and Dar's well-rounded and practical background in the industry includes experience as a software vendor, consultant, and customer. And prior to Yardi, he was vice president of revenue management and analytics for a Denver-based department investment management company, so he's got experience on both sides of the aisle. So with that, Dar, I'd like to give you the floor.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Hello, everyone. Dar Shah, even though it says Dharmendra Shah, Dar is a lot easier. And I've been with Yardi now about over eight years. Background includes experience, as Jim mentioned, with AIMCO. Prior to that, in the ERP world with J.D. Edwards for a long time. So I've been on both sides, as Jim mentioned, both on the customer side and on the vendor side, currently on the vendor side. So understand the need for strategy and understand how strategy gets incorporated within an organization. So at Yardi, we've been in the industry providing software for 30 plus years, and I don't want to go into elaborate of how or what Yardi does, but you know, we've been providing software for a long time, and we talk to our customers very regularly, and they're a major source of input into our strategy, into our direction. And I would like to really emphasize a lot of the things that Ilan and Sinesh and Kevin and Mike has said before. And I really am going to break it down into three pieces. But let's start with a strategy on technology as a whole. When we talk to our customers, it's not an individual technology, whether it's AI or blockchain or a single technology. It's really how the technology is going to incorporate and benefit the business. So when we talk to a lot of our customers, they say our technology, whatever we implement, has to do one of three things. It needs, or more, but it needs to either increase revenue, reduce costs, or mitigate risk. And those are the framework of most of when we talk to our customers. Their strategy says, how do we do that? So from a strategy perspective, I'm going to break it down into three pieces. The first piece is what you see on here is having what I call a connected solution. And that connected solution also connects everything from the people and the resources you deal with, whether it's from your vendors and suppliers, all the way up to your investors. So how do we connect that entire chain of resources? As you guys know, today's investors, when they invest, are demanding more visibility, more transparency to see from the very top from what their returns are all the way down into the details of the operations. That's across the board. So the companies tell us the strategy is how do I create a connected ecosystem? Ecosystem that as one area puts information in, it appears throughout that ecosystem and is visible throughout that ecosystem. And that gives me data flow that is easy to manage and it's consistent and correct. The second thing it gives me is visibility. Everyone has visibility in what's happening, what's behind, what's ahead, how are we doing with revenue, how are we doing with occupancy. And then the third piece, it enables action. So that first piece of just a connected solution is what brings everyone together. Yardi has been involved with the technology for a long time. Just from 2000 now, we've gone through significant evolutions and in some cases revolution in the technology and really has kept up. Now, Jim has covered a lot of this. I'm not going to spend much time on this. I want to move on forward and say the other two components is when we talk about strategy with our customers, the other two components that come up is how do we align with the business? And you heard Ilan and Sinesh really bring this to bear. How do we align the strategy with the business? Because we got to do one of those three things, increase revenue, lower cost, or mitigate risk. Now, that is especially true in this area of the economic cycle that we're in. We're very late in an extended economic expansion. And so what we're seeing is that chasing yield is not necessarily where you're going to return those returns to your investors. It's really how do I squeeze more of out of my existing operations? Now, that's the business perspective. And so what we're seeing companies do is that how can I squeeze more out of our existing operations, meaning revenue and cost, is I can implement technology. And okay, now we get into the strategy of what technologies do I go through and how do I evaluate those. So really we're seeing, and again, we're killing this point today, is we have to tie into the business, because at the end of the day, we have to drop that gains to the bottom line, those gains return back to our investors. The third piece from a strategy perspective that we are hearing consistently about is about scale. So when I implement a technology, how do I scale it across the organization? How, if I implemented IoT solutions within the organization, how do I make it either worldwide or across the enterprise? And how do I keep it connected, right? How can I enable my customers to pay online? How much self-service can I enable throughout the entire connected enterprise? Whether it's my supplier self-serving and seeing where their invoices are or invoicing me electronically, or my customers paying online or submitting a work order online, how can I facilitate all of that along with all these IoT new connections and strategies that are coming into play? How can I create a business to property segment where I can see a complete picture of what's going on in the property? How can I automate that property? One example is about a property that uses active sensors in their building, throughout their building, so they can monitor when a space is used and when it's not. If I understand that, now I can put a smart system over my HVAC and understand when I can cool, when I can heat that system, or when I should or cool or heat it. And then the third layer is match that up against my utility peak time charges. So now we can offset and say, if I can pre-cool or preheat a space before anyone gets in there and it's comfortable and I can avoid the utility peak charge times, that's where the benefit come in. So I think that's a good example of where you take a technology and you integrate it with what the business objectives are.
Well, so the interesting thing too is if you look at our solution provider partners, Real Foundations, a consultant, HID Global, Privacy, Security and Infrastructure, Yardi Information Systems, Smart Buildings, and soon join telecommunications infrastructure and, you know, connecting the building. Each a different aspect. And Ilan and Sunish, you know, 5 years ago, your strategy wouldn't include everything in the back, everything in the middle, and everything in the front. Fair to say that this is getting very, very complex. Ilan, start with you.
Because we need to acquire knowledge that we did not have before, and then we need to maintain it and support it, and then in some cases even be the educators, because we see that these are the trends, that this is where we want to go. So we have to be on top of it, but at the same time, maintaining and upkeeping it and all these new trends and new solutions that are coming out are not easy to adapt or sometimes to grasp.
Sunish, how about you? I mean, it covers every aspect now, like I said, from the back office all the way to the client, tenant occupant experience. How do you keep up?
Well, one of the things that I think of my role or any modern CIO, CTO role is more of a chief integration officer, because gone are the days when you could buy one monolithic system and put all your eggs in that one basket and run with it for 30 years. You still have well-entrenched large systems in our enterprise, as I'm sure many of you do. But when you see these niche technologies, smaller players that are really pushing the boundaries on innovation, and you want to bring them in, integration becomes key so that you don't end up with a bunch of siloed systems. And data and analytics becomes key. And so as long as the strategy accounts for that and you have an integration strategy of bringing in these point solutions but that are still part of the broader ecosystem, I think you do okay, and that's where our focus is.
Yeah, it's definitely, I like the word modern CIO, CTO, and I'm hearing that word more and more, and there are distinct differences between, you know, people who are thinking today going forward and people who are kind of just catching up with the past, and it's not an easy task.
All right, with that, I'd like to introduce our final speaker so we can get into this conversation with everybody. Malcolm Hobbs, the VP of Marketing and Market Development for Join, a relatively new company onto the scene, but one that is doing really good things. Malcolm has extensive startup and enterprise marketing and business development experience in markets, including SaaS, industrial IoT, analytics, and sustainability, all topics that we're very interested in. And at Join, he's helping to redefine how owners secure their buildings from digital threats and deliver advanced digital workplace services in today's tech-forward building. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Malcolm.
Thank you very much, Jim, and it's a pleasure to be here with all of my colleagues on the call today. I think what's been very interesting so far is we've heard from Alon talking about how IT has moved from a vertical to become a horizontal that is really glue to the business. And Sinesh really talked about being very customer-centric and figuring out how to monetize the innovation that they invest in the company. And I'm particularly hearing about Mike talking about finding a particular problem. And so when we talk to a lot of our clients about what is the major particular problem that you're trying to address. And really what we're seeing is that tenants are driving the changes to a lot of the digital strategies that you're seeing, and whether it's the movement to flex or co-working, whether it's a focus on privacy and cybersecurity, this incredible growth of remote teams in distributed areas. There's a lot of these issues that are really driving the tenants to ask for substantial changes from the property owners in terms of what they want to see and experience on site. And if you look at the transformation of IT for owners and tenants, if you look at what Amazon Web Services did for the compute environment, taking it off-premise and putting it in the cloud, what Salesforce did by basically creating the software as a service and putting those services in the cloud, so they're services that you access when you need to, you just pay for them on demand. You eliminate a lot of the CapEx associated with that. That's really what Join is doing with IT as a service. We're delivering it as a service and removing the big CapEx requirements from the customers. And so if you look at it from a point of view of the tenant spaces, there's lots of new capabilities that are going into the tenant world. And you combine that with what happens in the public spaces and the operations and infrastructure. Traditionally, these have all been managed by tens to dozens of different networks with all of the related privacy and cybersecurity issues. And so creating that great tenant experience, you have to take all the other elements of the public services and what's going on in the ops and infrastructure into consideration. Essentially, what we're doing is creating a cloud-based infrastructure where you can look at from a cybersecurity and privacy point of view the ability to address these issues across the organization and across the building, so that traditional wall that's existed between the tenants and the operational infrastructure, these are breaking down because a lot of these issues that are coming to the fore. And, you know, the key kinds of drivers that people are looking for is getting a secure infrastructure in place, having it being very focused on delivering advanced services to meet the needs of individual clients and focusing on being able to deliver, whether it's a segmented network or configurable on-demand services. These are the kinds of things that we're seeing every day. And once you put a network in place, you start to be able to see that you're now having to think about this, the growing regulatory burden that's coming into play. So in California, Massachusetts, Illinois, other states, there's now this focus on privacy and security, as the other speakers have started to talk about, where biometric data is very much in the forefront of everybody's thinking. And, you know, in terms of that notion, personally identifiable information, biometric data, owners and tenants are starting to get held to account for how this data is being used. And if we look at biometric data in particular, you know, when your password is compromised, you simply change the the password. But, you know, once biometric data is out there, it can create all kinds of problems in terms of the, of both personal liability and protection to the individual. This is a scan that we did in one of the several sites that we visit on a regular basis when we're talking to new clients. This is essentially what, using a downloadable scanner, we were able to quickly identify actual network data that's out there in terms of people's MAC ID addresses, device names, and for the most part, you know, the networks in a lot of these buildings today are incredibly easy to attack, so the exposure is pretty significant. So between the personal data and accessing system, there's some pretty significant risks. And it's both on the customer side and on the building owner side. And so when you think about this strategy, how do you step back and look at how to protect the building as a whole, as well as both the tenant data and the property owner data as well? And so looking at this balance between security, performance, and amenities, it's really kind of the core underpinning around thinking about the strategy that you want to deploy going forward. So, Jim, I'll hand it back to you.
You're bringing up some really excellent points. Makes me come up with a quick question for Ilan and Sanish. On a scale of 1 to 10, we'll start with Ilan. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is cybersecurity and privacy in your strategy?
10.
Sanish?
Is there 11, or can we have to stick to 10?
Great answer. And then I guess this is kind of a loaded question. Would you give any consideration to a solution provider, you know, a new point solution startup that didn't really think this through? I mean, I guess the question is, does every a solution you consider as part of your strategy have to have a comprehensive position on cybersecurity and privacy?
Absolutely.
From our absolutely, yes.
Yeah, we've been on that for a while. In fact, we encouraged every vendor who was on the exhibit floor this year to go to the cybersecurity forum. We got a pretty good response, but some are still not hearing that message. So you're hearing it from two leading CIOs in the real estate industry, who are very forward thinking, have control, or, you know, very involved in the strategy and the direction. They're saying privacy and cybersecurity has to be on top of mind. Great. All right, so now comes the fun part where we get to have a kind of a conversation, and all of you guys have submitted some questions. And I want to go to one, Ilan, that you sent in that really speaks to something near and dear to my heart. How are you viewed as a tech professional inside your company, right? Are you tactical or are you strategic? And you asked the question, how many information technology slides are in your company's investor presentation? Can you elaborate on that a little bit and why you think that's important?
The reason I think it's important is because I hear CEOs, I hear CFOs talking to the analyst market, talking to the investor market, saying on how technology is disrupting the workspace right now, how they need to become smarter, they talk about AI, they talk about augmented reality that, you know, that is changing the face of the future, and how autonomous cars are coming and they're going to change the way their buildings operate, or, you know, the space that they're actually using. But then if you understand that and you see that as a risk, that means that you need to do something internally, and you need to understand that also technology is a tool today that you need to start embracing. And if you're starting to address these issues and these, or you can see as your problems or threats that are happening within the industry, you have to have an answer. And the answer can only be through you investing in these type of technologies or other types of technologies, or at least testing them inside of your company. So when we talk about an initiative and we talk about a hospitality initiative and we talk about all the amenities that we're bringing into the space, then into the building, it's just, you know, secondhand to actually say, and we cover that up with a technology piece, which is a mobile application to our customers within the building to leverage all of our amenities. Or if we're doing something or we're talking about how do we, you know, we're talking about sustainability package, then we need to say, well, we're working, we're considering a digital twin project where we can actually address our wellness, sustainability, space optimization, and hospitality sector within our focus of our business. So that's why I think that if you can get your one or two or three slides and have your CEO, CFO actually talk and take pride in how you're addressing this technology roadmap, then you really know that you're being listened to.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't have that attention or that respect, you're going to be struggling. Fair statement?
Absolutely. And during my interview, I asked how many slides address technology in the business plan and in the corporate presentation, and I was told none. So I told them that my goal is that in 2 years there will be at least three slides in the presentation. And luckily for me, it took me 3 years, not 2 years, but the slides are in.
Awesome. Great. So let's add another layer of complication to this already, you know, big idea of a strategy, a tech strategy for real estate companies. Sunish, you're global in a way not many real estate companies are, so you got to deal with all these issues, but now you've got the added issue of dealing with, they say real estate's local, right? And you got to build a technology strategy that's global. How do you take all these local market considerations into play when you're developing your strategy?
Oh, that's a great question, Jim. And I think any large organization that's global runs into this where real estate particularly faces this from just the localized nature of the business. But running a horizontal capability-driven technology strategy across a company that's designed to operate vertically in terms of pure real estate operations is always a challenge. I think it starts with the fact that collaboration becomes a must. There are technologies that we have picked up that were piloted in, say, Europe and now have become the global standard for the company. That's an approach we embrace, that we take the best of what these localized innovation pods have to offer. We encourage innovation at the local level, but we provide a structure to it. So there's a framework that allows visibility, that allows certain amount of governance, and it allows for the best ideas to make it to a truly leveraging the Prologis scale. Otherwise, we would be 19 very successful smaller real estate companies. We operate in 19 countries, but we want to be one large successful real estate company. And the difference is to collaborate and let the best ideas win.
Yeah. So we got small companies on the phone all the way up to, you know, multinationals. Same kind of question. Yardi, international, you know, small companies, middle-sized companies, very large companies, people who are at different parts of the strategy journey. What is your biggest challenge when you go into the marketplace? You talk to a lot of people.
Yeah, we talk to a lot of people, and really is I think what Sunish just referred to, the biggest challenge is to make sure that as we develop software or we listen to their strategies and go back to the drawing board of what we're going to build and what and where we're going to build it, I think it comes back to that idea of scale. As Sunish said, you know, you don't want to be, force one process throughout an entire organization, especially if you're global because of localization issues. But you do want to make sure that the software is flexible, that I can have standard processes across all of my different organizations in the different countries, but I can standardize those processes while allowing flexibility for the local operations to flex. And really what it comes down to is talking with our customers and talking to those local operations and understanding where there are differences and where there's commonality that we can bring up to a higher level and where we need to have flexibility to allow for those localities to be able to operate it within their own governance model, their regulatory environment, and all of their local considerations. So it's really talking to a lot of people and understanding what's going on out there.
Yeah, and again, you know, the complexity within a company is bad enough, but when you look at it across marketplaces, and the most important thing is that different people are at different parts of the journey, different speeds, and getting all that cadence, getting that cadence synchronized within an organization. You know, the CEO who may not want to move fast, you know, the head of IT who may have a bigger vision, a lot of, you know, employees and team members who just don't understand how fast it's moving. And I think it's these kind of conversations and webinars and you know, all these discussions that help get people synchronized. Mike, when we were talking earlier, we're talking about a lot of people who are sitting at the table, right? Is IT and this technology integrated with business? Is it sitting at the table with executives? You seem to indicate that there's somebody missing from the conversation. Who is that? Do you have somebody in mind that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, so typically, you know, those privacy questions come up quite a bit, right? And who's missing, there's really three components there. If it's a small company, you might not have privacy per se, but the legal, right? So who's looking at it from a legal standpoint, HR, and then the voice of the actual customer. You know, if you look at ESG and some of the things around environmental and social impacts, the social impact will absolutely disrupt a lot of projects that we see that are strategic in innovative, forward-thinking technology, because a lot of the stuff coming out of the news of people being tracked and people using data incorrectly, if you don't transparently provide what the ROI will be to the user of your life will be better X, Y, Z, and here's how we're going to map that, that's who's missing. And by the time you bring them to the table, it's usually too late to redeem faith in whatever the strategy is around whatever technology you plan to implement.
Yeah, and it's again, it's getting the alignment. To me, it seems so critical. So Kevin, you're a consultant. You're out there in the industry. You too talk to a lot of people, which means your perspective is wide and deep. Yeah, and you're helping a lot of clients. Do you yourself, does Real Foundation live by this? And do you have a digital strategy that you're forcing yourself to change so you can take that and pass it on to your clients?
Yeah, we have a number of different strategies. I spoke a little bit about the management services side of the business and kind of keeping on the forefront of a lot of technologies like what Yardi is providing and process automation. On the management consulting side, we use communication tools, information management tools to help us ensure that we can share the ideas and the knowledge that we're gaining again and again. So it's important to us to be able to know and to create this operating model platform. So for example, we have a position of what a commercial real estate, the functions that a commercial real estate industry should provide, right? So it's important for us to have the tools that we can kind of share with our management consultants to continue to build and understand how we can come to the conversation with, let's say, 80% of what needs to be addressed, right? So mm-hmm. It's different on the managed services side than it is, and we are investing in other tools that are more on data integration. We're not just focused on the commercial. We're looking at the entire industry. So we're investing in a whole data integration platform that's used by our institutional investors that may not be directly managing any of the properties or having any key systems, but need to aggregate all that data. They need to pull it together. And it's not just property financials. More and more, we're seeing trends that they want to look at the operational level of details. There may be, you know, GRESB reporting, sustainability reporting. So that's a different, you know, strategy that we have for that particular need. But yeah, this is an active conversation we have within our business.
So playing right into that, you know, the back office running of the real estate company, the lease administration, the accounting. Now all of a sudden we got IoT and smart buildings, you know, talking to possibly the enterprise. It's got to be part of the strategy. So Malcolm, I mean, if somebody's considering a smart building or smart workplace, you know, where do they start? I mean, do they go for the whole thing right off the top? Should it be integrated into the strategy day one? Does it get eased in? Where for some people who may not be, you know, far down the road, where do you think they start with something like this?
Well, I think to key off what what Mike said earlier, it's picking a particular problem. So, you know, in our case, we're working with owners, we're working with flex operators and tenants as well, and it's but it's picking the particular problem you want to solve, whether it's creating a smart spec suite so that you can make the leasing process easier, whether it's creating a common area Wi-Fi solution, whether it's putting some of your security cameras and access control on a software-defined network so you can manage it centrally, whether it's offering specific services to your tenants in the orders of particular package solutions. It's pick one of the problems and address it directly. And I think that's, when you look at the building, you look at a range of products that can be delivered by the owners. It's sort of picking one of those products or services that you want to focus on and start from there.
So just to kind of summarize where we've been, I mean, we got two gentlemen who are responsible for those real estate organizations, and we've got, you know, four solution providers, a consultant, facilities, privacy, information management, you're already moving into the smart building realm and then join that communications infrastructure for a smart building. That combination of folks really can offer a broad perspective on this topic. What I want to do is I want to ask a question. If you could just give me a 5-second answer to get some context. Here's the question. When we compare the commercial corporate real estate industry and all the transactions we have and our ability to automate those, and those of you who come from outside the industry will probably be able to answer this a little bit easier. How does our industry compare to, say, financial services? And if you could just give me a 5-10-second answer, I want to get some context as to how much work we have ahead of us. Ilan?
I think that compared to the financial industry, we're much, much, much more complex because not only do we actually have to worry about one topic, but we have to spread horizontally, and we're going to need to do a lot more work. And I don't think that we are there yet. We are we're just now embarking on the fact that we need to do more than what we've done before.
How about you, Sunish?
I think we're probably in the bottom quartile of industries in terms of technology maturity, but rapidly climbing. I think there's a renewed sense of attention to what technology can do, and the fact that we had something like 3,000 startups portrayed on at RealCon this year is a sign of what's to come. And so that's encouraging signs, but a long ways to go.
Kevin?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Technology is not embraced universally across the industry, and it's often kind of not like the financial services or healthcare industries. Our retailers, certain customers that you may be providing real estate to, may be really embracing technology, but typically the owner-operators themselves aren't embracing technology in the same manner.
Mike, quick response?
Completely agree that it's lacking compared to the financial services. Having HSBC and PNC, some of our customers, definitely a different approach when it comes to information security.
Dar?
Agree with everything that's been said. We're a little behind, but I think there's been an explosion of technology. The question that I think that goes forward is, two, can we leapfrog, and secondly, what is the adoption rate of it? So I think having the technology and the adoption are two different things.
Yep, I agree. Malcolm.
Well, I think if you look at a building and you look at a 50-story building with maybe 8 tenants on a floor, that's 400 separate companies, standalone IT infrastructures, plus all the building infrastructure services that need to support that, plus everything you need to do for the public spaces. It's a different kind of a model because you have businesses inside of businesses, and that's where it kind of differs from the financial services space where we serve things like currency trading operations. But that's the really interesting element, and traditionally there's been this wall between what happens inside of the tenant versus what happens outside, and with the explosion of technology, that wall is really breaking down, and figuring out how to make that work is going to be really critical.
We just posted a quick question. In financial services, increasingly there is a presence of technologists and digitally savvy leaders on their boards. Do you see the need for the same in real estate companies with all the technology disruption ahead of us? So far, it looks like 100% of the folks listening think that we got to get our boards changed and get some more digitally savvy people to influence that executive leadership. All right, guys, we have literally 3 minutes, so I'm going to ask you 15 seconds. Your advice, insight to the audience, Monday morning, what should people do? Ilan?
Monday morning, try to make communication with everyone and speak with them, and try to assess your position and see if you are ready to start with an IT strategy.
Thank you. Sunish?
I'd say beware of the shiny object and always have a problem statement in mind before you embark on a technology strategy.
Excellent advice. Kevin?
I would say don't hesitate to reach out to other CIOs, people that are on this call. The real estate industry is very, if this is not necessarily proprietary as it may be in a financial industry, and we're all here to help. So don't hesitate to reach out and use the RealCom network.
Yeah, I was a CIO once, and actually that contributed to starting RealCom because you can't do it alone, and you don't want to make big mistakes, and that's why you got to collaborate. Excellent point. Mike?
I would say schedule 3 informational interviews and see if there's any exciting projects that map to areas you're looking at in the future.
Thank you for that. Darv?
I would say that, you know, whatever strategy you take on the next project, as it was talked about, take one project at a time. But as you take them on and you test them out, think of the enterprise as a whole. How do I manage this across my entire enterprise, since it's going to drive a lot of different applications, different devices to you?
And finally, Malcolm.
I think the most important element is to pick one or two problems you want to solve, and then make sure that the strategy addresses that. And don't try to boil the ocean. Pick a particular one and start there and knock that one down, and then move to the next.
Well, guys, Sarah, we crammed an awful lot into an hour and a half. I would encourage people to listen to this again. Honestly, getting access to Ilan and Sunish with their busy schedules, very hard to do. Kevin, Mike, Dar, and Malcolm, incredibly supportive sponsors that enable us to have these conversations. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. If your questions did not get answered, please forward them to Sarah. We will do our best to distribute to these folks and get your questions answered. The conversation continues. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who have participated and listened in today. And give us feedback. Give us comments. We're always trying to make these better. We want to use your time well. And we're trying to get answers to the questions you may have. So with that, I want to say thank you to everybody and bring Sarah back to wrap it up.
Thank you very much, Jim. And thank you again to all the panelists. Really great session today. Really appreciate all your valuable contributions. Our next webinar is on the continuous evolution of the leasing workflow, and that's going to be on Tuesday, October 8th. We have our Quartech conference coming up. Quartech is focused on technologies and innovation in the corporate real estate space. However, it is a great opportunity for all you CIOs and CTOs from the commercial real estate space to really attend and understand the challenges your tenants are dealing with. So I would really like to encourage you to join us in Silicon Valley for the educational program. And then we also have a number of smart building tours of some of the most iconic buildings and campuses in the area lined up. So we will be visiting Google, LinkedIn, Workday, VMware, and others.